lot of men and women have died giving you and I the right to be able to be here. And I'm not going to preach about this, but I'm going to have to say this. Church don't give your freedoms up. Okay? And let me tell you something else. Don't vote your freedoms away. Okay? Now, this is not a get into a political speech here, but Christians ought to know how to vote. Okay? I'll tell you how to vote right here. If their convictions don't line up with this, you don't need them in there. Christians don't vote your pocketbooks, you vote the Bible. Okay? Don't give your freedoms away when men died by the thousands on a beach storming Normandy to give you the right to have them. Amen. I'm just glad that we live in the God-fearing, still a country where God can still be feared and still be preached. Because we're free, and I'm glad to be free. Folks, I've been overseas a few times. And I went to places that are supposed to be free. They're not free. I went over to one place, and I looked around, and I said, where are all the trucks? And they said, you can't drive a truck here unless you pay. And they told me how much tax. And I said, huh? Went to the store. I said, I want a Coke. And they said, well, we got them right over there. I said, that's a 6.5-ounce bottle. How many can I get? Well, that's big as you can get it here. They're not free. They are not free anymore. We are free because people have died to give us our freedom. You know, I'll tell you why I'm free most of all, because Jesus Christ died for me to be able to be free and go to heaven. I'm not going to hell. I'm saved by the grace of God. I love that singing this morning. I'm glad to be here. I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter number 11, and I'll try to move quickly as I can. I want to say thank you, church, for your serving, for your giving, for all the good people in this church and all that is going on, all that God is doing. You know, God is moving in so many ways. You know, I want to read this scripture in Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 28, and I just want you to listen to what Jesus said. He's calling people unto himself, and he says this. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, the thought that I have this morning that I want to share with you for just a few minutes is that Jesus meets you where you are. My wife and I, we were sitting and we've had conversations, obviously, about the Lord and God's things and God's people. I mean, because serving the Lord for us is something that we do every day. It's part of our lives. It's who we are. It's not just something we do on Sunday. Well, we were sitting and we were talking and we were talking about people in need, and there are always people that need help. There are so many people that have so many different things in their life that they need help. And we were just talking, and all of a sudden this thought came to my mind, and it's almost like it came to hers at the same time, and we begin to talk, that Jesus meets you where you are. You know, sometimes what people say is, you know, when I get to where I can, I'm going to come to church. You know, when I get to where I'm not involved in or doing things that maybe they know they shouldn't be doing. You know, it's like when I get my life straightened out, then I'm going to come to church. Then I've talked to people and they say, well, you know, when I get this done over here or I get that done over there, then I'm going to come to church. I've even talked to people that say, you know, I'm just hurting too bad. I've got too much going on in my life. I'm coming to church when I get the point that I can come, and I've actually had people say this, when I can come and not cry, I'm going to come to church. I've even had people say, you know, every time I go to church, it just seems like every time I come in the door, I end up in the altar. And I don't want to come back till I get to the point that I can come to church. And every time I come into church, I don't feel like I need to go to the altar. Let me just tell you a little personal story right here about that. I can remember a time in my life. Folks, I got saved when I was 12 years old. Okay, but getting saved is one thing. Surrendering to God is something else. Okay? Hey, some people got saved, but they haven't surrendered yet. You can be saved your whole life and never have surrendered to God. And I was saved when I was 12, but God called me to preach when I was in the ninth grade. Didn't mean I surrendered. I just heard that voice. I still remember where I was standing when God spoke to me. But I come to the point in my life, somewhere along about the time I was about 18 and a half years old, that I had to get serious about doing business with God. And back during those times, in that age of my life, I would go to a lot of revivals. And I'd go into churches, and it seems like every time I went to revival, I would go down to the altar and I would pray. And you know, it's almost like this. You know what you think? Now, people look at you. They say, what's wrong with him? Why is he going to the altar every time he comes to church? Now, y'all say, people don't act that way. Yes, they do. And you know that they do, and it affected me, but I come to the point in my life that I said this, I'm going to surrender to God. And if I had to go to the altar, every time I go to church, I'm going to that altar until I get things exactly where they need to be between me and God, because I couldn't be somebody's puppet, and I couldn't be somebody's parrot. Y'all heard parrot preachers? They just preach what they heard somebody else say. Now, folks, I'm not that way. God didn't call me to be somebody else. He called me to be me. And he's calling you to be you. And you can't be the best you're going to ever be until you understand you come to God just like you are. Now, I came to the Lord and I surrendered to him. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Surrender was a process. It was a process of God working in my life and my heart, molding me and speaking to me and drawing me closer to him until he began to show me who and what I needed to be. And let me tell you something. Can you get a hold of this? He's not through. There's a song that we used to sing when we were kids in the youth. It says, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You know, it took him about a week to make the moon and the stars. The sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. You know, he is still working on me. And I have to realize, and you need to realize today, that God's going to meet you right where you are. And here's what I want you to understand. Everything about you, he sees it. There's a song that we sing. It's page number 81. It says, just as I am. Does it really mean, does God's word really teach, and will Jesus really accept me if I come just as I am? Can I remind you, that's the only way you can come. Because if you wait till you've got everything figured out, until you wait till you've got everything straightened out, you will never come, because you will never be able to straighten it out yourself. You'll never be able to deal with the pain. You'll never be able to deal with the sin. You'll never be able to get rid of the things in your life that are not pleasing to God until you get some help from God. You know, when we look through the Word of God, and I thought about this, and I thought about some examples. You know, there are a lot of examples through the Word of God. In the book of John, chapter number 8, there's one to consider. You ever heard somebody say, you know, when I get everything right, I'm coming to the Lord. And I can't come to the Lord because, and then they fill in the blank. I want to tell you something. He already knows everything about you that there is to know. And he loves you just like you are. There was a woman in this 8th chapter of John that was brought, and they threw her down at Jesus' feet. And in the process of throwing her down at Jesus' feet, they wanted to condemn her, but they were looking for a way to condemn Jesus also. Because they tested him over and over again to see how that he would respond. But remember, he's God. And when he spoke to them, beginning from the eldest to the youngest, those men that stood around this woman that was caught in sin had stones in their hands. And they began to drop them, and it's almost like you could hear the thuds on the ground as they begin to drop from the eldest to the least. And the only way that any of us can get help from God is come to God just like we are. Now, what I don't want to do is I don't want to stand in the way of God doing what only God can do. You say, well, we don't do that. Well, do we show people Jesus? I heard a story, and it was just a story, but it was of a little boy that went to church every Sunday with his grandparents. And he said one Sunday he came into church and he looked up on the wall and there was a picture up on the back wall behind the pulpit. And he said, Grandpa, who is that picture of up on the wall? And the grandpa says, well, son, that's Jesus. And a little boy, he made a comment, he made a statement. He said, well, you know, I've never been able to see that before because the preacher was always standing in the way. Sometimes what we need to stop and think about is, are we standing in the way? I can remember when I was, and I've been in church my whole life, I taught Sunday school before I probably should have been teaching Sunday school because we get in trouble together in class. But I can remember teaching youth when I was a youth. And I remember one time I asked them, I said, if y'all were in trouble, would y'all come and tell me? I was a little older than them. And they said, oh, no, we'd never tell you. Can I tell y'all, that was conviction for me? Because it made me stop and think about how have I responded? What kind of a picture of Jesus have I painted so that if somebody's in trouble, they wouldn't come to me? You see, if Jesus meets you where you are, where are we meeting people ourselves? Jesus met this woman and he told her, he said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. When people come to the Lord just like they are, they're going to get some help from God. There's another story in Luke chapter number 8. And it's a story of a man who was so bad. The scripture says that he was crying and cutting himself and living in the tombs. You know, if you go over to Deuteronomy chapter number 21 and read the 18th to the 21st verse. I'm not going to read that, but you can write that scripture down. Go read it and read what used to happen under the law to people that were in the shape this man's in. I read that scripture this morning, Deuteronomy chapter number 21, verse 18, 21. I tell you what I'd like to have done is stood down there on the state capitol when they were rioting and read that scripture to them. Yeah. And told them what would happen. But for the grace of God, where would I be but for the grace of God? Amen. You know, basically, when people walked by this man that was in the tombs, here's what they said. He's gone too far. He's too bad. There's nothing can be done for him. And sometimes even how many times are you going to keep trying to help him until you give up? Jesus knows where every one of us are. Now, can I tell you something? Sometimes we get in Jesus' way because we try to do Jesus' job. And I can't. Sometimes what we have to do is be willing to get out of God's way and let God do some work. But they got to come like they are. You ever seen anybody say, well, you know, when I stop drinking, I'm going to go to church. When I can quit. When I can stop doing drugs, I'm going to go to church. And I've actually had people tell me this, when I get ready that I want to stop doing drugs, I'll come to church. But wherever you are, Jesus meets you where you are. What about a person who's hurting? Can I tell y'all, church, grief is real. Amen. The pain of grief is real. And I remember if we're reading through the Word of God and understanding that Jesus meets you where you are, there's a story of two sisters. They're Martha and Mary. And they deal with things in different ways, just like you and I do. We're not all the same. They were different people. And Jesus, he came to where they were, and when he got to where they were, the scripture says that Jesus wept. And I want to come back to that in a minute. I want you to remember there are some things about Jesus you need to understand. But when you're grieving, I want you to understand that Jesus meets you where you are. He met them where they were, and he reached out to them, and they spoke to him. And what Jesus brought to them was compassion. Sometimes the only thing you and I can bring to a person that's hurting is compassion. One thing that I know very clearly, and I wish more people did know, is you don't have the answers. You ever seen somebody going through something and somebody come up to them and they try to tell them, and it's almost like sometimes you just need to love them. You don't need to try to tell them everything because you don't know everything. Only God does. But Jesus brought compassion. and he cared for them, and he met them where they were. What about the man that was there in the tombs cutting himself? Jesus brought healing. What about this woman that was brought and thrown down at Jesus' feet? Well, the law clearly said in Leviticus chapter number 20 and verse 10 what was to be done to her, but here's what Jesus brought. Jesus brought mercy. You know why you need to come to church just as you are? Because if you wait till you think you're ready, you won't come.
That's right. Amen.
If I thought, I'm not going to church because I might cry or I might go to the altar. Maybe you're going to the altar or you're crying. Amen. But help somebody else. Those like these that gathered around with these stones in their hands to have a softer heart. And can I tell you this before we move on? If you were able to see like Jesus, I guarantee you'd have a softer heart. You'd care more about people. You'd be more forgiving of people. And you'd be more tolerant to care for people right where they're at. Because the problem that you and I have living in this house of clay is we try to find the answers with our limited mind. And we can't see what Jesus sees. You know, if you're grieving, come to Jesus. Find compassion. Find grace. What about Zacchaeus? You ever thought about what he needed from Jesus? Zacchaeus was a man, if you study and understand the times, he was very successful. He was very successful and he had many things. He had a home. And according to what I understand, looking at the times, he was probably better off than most. But he didn't have everything because he so wanted to see Jesus that he went and climbed up a sycamore tree just to watch him as he walked by. Now, I want to remind you, Jesus already knows where you're at. It comes to us to accept that and come to him. You see, as Jesus is walking down the street, he knows already that Zacchaeus is up in the tree, and he knows that Zacchaeus is wanting to see him, and he knows what's going on inside of Zacchaeus' heart and mind. You know, the problem that you and I have is if you're like the woman that was thrown at Jesus' feet, you can't relate to Zacchaeus. If you're like the Gadarene demoniac, you can't relate to Zacchaeus. But a lot of times, if you're like Zacchaeus, you can't relate to this woman at Jesus' feet either. And if you're like Zacchaeus, you can't relate to this one that's in the tombs. You don't know why he's over there doing what he's doing. After all, Zacchaeus is like a lot of people today. You know, he's working himself to death to take care of his family. He don't know why they're doing what they're doing. But Zacchaeus needed something from God too. There's a song that Mandisa sings that's got a line in it for me. It says, he is with you in the conference room when the world is falling down on you. You know, I've been in churches where it seemed like the pastor would get up and he sometimes, to me, from where I sit, seemed like he would lay burdens on people in the church that were almost impossible to bear. In other words, you're not just supposed to come here. You got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this. And if you don't do this, you're not right with God according to him. But I thought, he can't relate to this, and he can't relate to that. I can relate to it, folks. But when I look at this man, can I tell you something? Men and ladies, and I've said this before, never fault a man just trying to make a living and take care of his family. That's different than being a workaholic and just loving money. That's not the same. I spent most of our kids' life working and driving 3 hours a day, missing soccer games, missing volleyball games while my wife took them just so that I could take care of the family. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm so busy, I can't go to church. Understand. Y'all know if I were to tell you the truth, I'm so busy, I can't go to church. But but I'm still a pastor. Why? Because I know this is the most important thing. Now, when I look at Zacchaeus and I think, well, what does Zacchaeus need from God? I'll tell you what he needed from God. He needed the same thing the woman at Jesus' feet needed. He needed the same thing that the one in the tombs needed. First, he needed salvation. Then he needed God's grace to be able to help him make it through life. He needed the grace of God. And he called Zacchaeus to come down. And he said, I'm going to dwell at your house today. And he went to Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus found God, not just walking down the street, but in his heart. And he said, if I've taken anything from anybody, I'm going to return it, because he found God. You see, I've met people in my lifetime that you could just read a verse of Scripture to them, conviction comes. I have actually met people that when I ministered to them, it was a process of time that I had to actually take items that were called apologetics and show them tangibly how that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that He was on the way and the Bible was true, because archaeology, history, all those things actually do line up with the Bible. Jesus meets you where you are. That's why it's a personal relationship with a living God. I was thinking about this message this week, and I thought about Jesus meeting you where you are. Have you ever thought about how and why Jesus can actually do that? How can He do that? And I want to go over to Hebrews chapter number 4. And I want to read the 14th through the 16th verse. And it says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the healing feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This message has been on my heart for a couple of weeks, and I was actually going down the road Thursday afternoon after work, and I occasionally can pick up an old gospel station, and I picked up an old station out of Alabama, and the song started playing. And immediately I said, God, please let them tell the name of that song. The song started playing, and I began to listen to it, and immediately this message, Jesus meeting you where you are, came to my heart and my mind, and they announced the name of the song is He Had to Be. Now, here's what I want you to understand about Jesus and how Jesus can meet you where you are. Have you ever thought about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming to the earth and what the Bible says about it? The Bible says in one place He became obedient. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Took upon Himself the likeness or the form of a man. You know that there's a verse in the Bible where it talks about Jesus, and He even said Himself, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. Here's some words to the song. It says He could have had a palace, a diadem. He could have had a kingdom as the great I am. He could have had riches that go to royalty. But He had to walk a different road for you and me. He had to be hungry. He had to cry. He had to be homeless. He had to die. He had to be broken. He had to fall. He had to be poor so we could be sure He would come to all. He went to the common, the very small, reached out to the whosoever will, and loved them all. On a mission of mercy and amazing grace, He took the riches of the highest to the lowest place. You see, the Scripture says that we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the healing feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. That's what makes him God. Here's a narrative that says if Jesus had the riches of the earth, the poor would never know the abundance of heaven. If the Lord had lived in a palace, the homeless would never have known a refuge. If the Savior had not been rejected, the outcast would not know acceptance. If the Redeemer had not been cast into the dungeon, the shackled would never know freedom. And if Jesus had not fought the raging forces of hell, the soldiers of the earth would never know the peace of heaven. You see, when I stop and think about my Lord and who He is, we must realize that we come to Him just like we are. As the song says, just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. You know, when we come to the Lord and we think that we can get things straightened out, or we can come when we're in a better shape, or we'll come when things are different in our life. That's what a lot of times people do around New Year's, right? They want to make a resolution. They want to turn over a new leaf. And sometimes even make the statement, well, when I get to this point, I'll come to the Lord. You come to the Lord just like you are. Amen. And what I want you to understand is wherever you are in your life, whether you're involved in things that are not pleasing to God, whether you're struggling, and sometimes people struggle. You know, there are things that I've experienced, and we just announced we're getting back to Celebrate Recovery starting the June the 7th. Folks, I have tried to help people with things I don't understand. But I want to finish this. I've tried to help people with things I don't understand. But can I tell you, I don't want to understand. Okay? Because when I see it and I see the things that have happened in people's lives, I know it's real. You see people go through things and you say, I don't know why they can't just get over it. They're not you. I've seen people go through things in their life, and sometimes it's their own making, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's others. I had a guy talking to me the other day. He said, it just seems like everything in my life is going wrong. He said, I can't get ahead. It's this, it's that over there. And it's almost like, y'all heard of the Bermuda Triangle? Y'all have heard of a bird called the albatross. And I listened to them, and I have actually had some that I've counseled with, and it's gotten to the point that I think, I don't know what to say. God, would you help them? You know what the Holy Spirit says? He says, I'm already there. And when we realize where God is at, that God is already there. When you think you can't come to the Lord until you get it straightened out, He's already there. And the only way you're going to get to the point that you can have the right kind of peace and fellowship with Him is come just like you are. You can't wait. You can't put it off. You can't figure it out, because you'll never be able to handle your grief without God. And you'll never be able to conquer your demons without God. You'll never be able to fulfill the purpose that God has for your life until you put Him number one in your life. Doesn't matter how smart you are, how educated you are, like Zacchaeus, how successful you are in business. Because you can get to the point, no matter what you've got in life, if God is not first, you will be absolutely incontent. That's why the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. Remind you of the scripture that we read, and we're going to ask Brother Jeff to come up, and he's going to sing the lighthouse, because Jesus is the lighthouse. Here's what Jesus said. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
If you're hearing God spoke to you, you're dealing with anything at all in your life, bring it to Him just like you are. If you got people on your heart and in your life that you're I don't know what to do with them. I don't know how to help them. Bring them to God. There are times in your life, and I'll say this, and I'm going to let Brother Jeff sing. We might have one like that Gadarene demoniac. We've tried, we've done everything in the world that we can to help them, and by the time we got something called being codependent, to where we help them too much, and God can't do what He needs to do. Here's what you do with them. Put them right here.
Amen.
I heard a preacher preaching one time. He was preaching up at church on the other side of Pauling County, and he said this. He had a wayward son. He said, I just told my son. He said, son, I'm going to put the Lord on you. And that's what we need to do. Would you please stand to your feet? If God's dealt with you or spoke to you in any way, you'd like to come pray. The altars of Hiram First Baptist Church are always open, and I want you to know that God loves you, and He cares for you, and He meets you right where you are. More than you can possibly know, God cares for you. If you'd like to pray, would you come?
Well, there's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light. Oh, that I might see and the light that shines in the dark. Safely lead me home. Or if it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. And I Jesus is my lighthouse and my rock from sin. He has shown His light around me that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? Now everybody, whoa, that lives around us says, tear that old lighthouse down. No, the big ships, they don't sail this way anymore. There's no use in standing around. But my mind goes back to that stormy thank God I saw the light, and the light from that old lighthouse, hey, standing on the hill, and I thank God for if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? And if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where.